This year is it's Yiras Hashem and knowledge. Okay, and if you saw the sources there, it's basically the relationship between Yiras Hashem and knowledge. Okay, as the title implies. Okay, so basically we're going to have three or six sources, depending how you count it. And it's going to be kind of showing a tension in the Yiras Hashem, or problems trying to define it. When you try to define Yiras Hashem, so it's kind of a slippery topic, slippery concept, okay? And we're not really going to define it, okay? So don't get your hopes up. Okay, so first is, we'll start with the very famous contradiction, or sort of, is the Rambam in the Sefer Mitzvos and the Mishneh Torah. So the Rambam Sefer Mitzvos is Mitzvos Ase Dalad. So just the first couple lines. So I'm using the, I guess it's the Ibn Tibon translation. He says, Mitzvos Dalad is He Shetzivanu Lahamin Yiraso Ulehefache Mimenu. So the mitzvah is to, I remember Kafach does not happy with Lahamin Yiraso. He doesn't like that translation. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Okay, but whatever. We understand it. It means to... it doesn't really make sense. It's true. Is to fear God, okay? To fear, be scared of Him. Velonia kikofrim haholchem b'shirus libam. So don't be like those who are kofrim and deniers, who go by the what was it? This week's parsha, shirus libam, either means by what your heart seeks out, or by the passions of your heart, according to Ramban, Rashi, ubikari, and just haphazardly. Avonira biiras ansho. But you rather you should be afraid of him punishing you, becholeis constantly, v'zehu as Hashem kechatira. Okay, so the Rambam, right, and then he continues to show that it's mitzvah zase. But the point is essentially the way the Rambam defines Yiras Hashem in the Sefer Mitzvos is it's a yira of onesh. Okay, so you should be a constant thing. It shouldn't be, I guess, only at the end of your life or only in the Yom Hadin, Lasa Lava, or maybe only on Rosh Hashanah, but it should be a constant a state of mind where you are afraid that if you do something wrong, you don't listen to Hashem, He's going to punish you. And that's a very intuitive idea of Yiras Hashem. Okay? So far, so good. Nobody's any
by
problems.
Afraid, you mean I think it's possible, or like afraid you mean I'm actually like concerned?
I mean, you're afraid, yeah. You're afraid, you're concerned that if you do something wrong, you don't listen to Him. Certainly if you don't keep the mitzvot, but... The Rambam Mora says, ultimately God punishes you even for things that a Navi never commanded you on, but your Seichel tells you is wrong, right? So, if you do something wrong and you don't listen to Him or, something like that, then He's going to punish you, right? And that's for sure the case. Not like these Kaifrim who say, go by the Shrius Libam say, that Les Dim Les Dayan. And that's the basic level of Yiras Hashem. Yeah, and it's pretty much a general awareness that if you ever sin, that there's going to be mishpat.
I'm saying believing that notion is true is not equivalent to being in a state of fear necessarily.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if he... I get the problem is the translation to some degree. I don't know if it means a constant state of fear. But general awareness. You're just afraid to do something wrong. So don't do anything wrong. If you don't do anything wrong, don't be afraid. Okay? If you always listen to Hashem, is whatever He tells you to do, you don't do anything He doesn't tell you not to do, so you don't have to be worried. Except you have to make sure that there's other things that aren't necessarily mitzvahs and aveiros. That your seichel tells you, you should be scared. You should be scared pretty much all the time. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, I just want to understand the Havamina that the Rambam brings out from the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Is that him, bringing up a possible formulation and then rejecting it because of Yiras Hashem? Or because, I guess, the intuitive definition of Yiras Hashem? Or?
Okay, so, I think, and I didn't really go into that much because I think that sometimes the Rambam in the Sefer Mitzvot, he's just trying to prove to you that's a mitzvah, that Chazal counted as a mitzvah. Because he holds there's essentially a Kabbalah Masorah on what's a mitzvah, what's not a mitzvah. Now, there are rules, but he generally tries to prove that it's a mitzvah or not by quoting Chazal called a mitzvah. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what he's doing there. Maybe I'm wrong, maybe there's something deeper he's trying to bring out the idea of Yiras Hashem. But I think there he's really just trying to show you that they counted as a mitzvah. Okay? Now, the Rambam in the Mishneh Torah, right, fails to mention anything about Yiras Onesh. Right. So the Rambam is in Perek Beis, yeah?
In Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Yud, he mentions Yiras Onesh.
By Ovi Meira?
Yeah, that's how we start off women and children.
Okay, listen, fine. You want to say I'm not doing it in that sense, that Mishnah Torah, Sefer Mitzvos. I'm not trying to do it that way. Certainly the essential place where it's formulating Yiras Hashem Mitzvah, is in Yesodia Torah, definitely, and he leaves it out there, we'll see. And over there, you can argue it's a little bit different, because that's, you know, there's a separate shir about Ovid Me, Yira, and Yiras Hashem. Right? Because Rambam in there, he says it's not right to serve God by Yira, but obviously Yiras Hashem is a mitzvah. Right? Okay. So the Rambam formulates it, and it's in Hilchos Yesodia Torah, Perek Beis Lach Aleph, and Beis. Hakel HaNichbad VaNora HaZeh Mitzvah La'avo L'Yirmi HaMenu. Right, so this God, this one God, right, is a Ram established in Perek Aleph. Shenemar, it's a mitzvah to love him and to fear him. Shenemar va'afti is Hashem l'kecha, v'nemar is Hashem l'kecha tira. So Ram puts Avas and Yiras, Ava and Yiras Hashem together, right, which is, obviously, it's an unusual pairing if you're thinking in terms of Yiras Onesh. It's not the right way to put them together. V'heichi derech la'avas l'yaso, and what is the way to love him and fear him, and they go together. B'shosh yizbone adem b'maisov, when a person contemplates the works of Hashem and his creations, which are amazing and they're great, and he sees that God's wisdom is infinite and there's nothing comparable to it. So that creates in him a desire to know God, and he praises God, he glorifies him, he realizes this is something. Something greater than anything else I could ever conceive of or I've ever experienced and seen. So it creates a certain desire, intellectual desire in the person to know God and to be close to God, right? Close to God, whatever that means. And when you really think about these very same ideas, miyad who near to lachorav, so he reflects, pulls backwards. And he's afraid and scared. And you reflect on your own existence and you realize you're just a lowly little creature. With just a feeble intellect before this perfect mind. And then when you look at the heavens, that's where you see the Chachma Hashem, that's the key to the system of Chachma Hashem. So then you realize, what is man? Okay. But when you, it's a totally different formulation of Yiras Hashem. It's not the being afraid that if you do something wrong, God's going to punish you. It's rather something of realizing the grandeur and the godless of God, and you pull back, you reflect on your own existence before God, and you realize you're nothing compared to His. Right, the Roman Masakel is the classic formulation of the Rambam Sefer Mitzvos. And then the Mishneh Torah, it's an awe and a trepidation of something that's greater than you, something that's more amazing and based on infinite wisdom that fills the creation. A completely different formulation. Seems like totally different mitzvos, nothing to do with each other. Very hard to even understand why you'd call them both Yiras Hashem. Right? Okay. Then we have this Gemara in Shabbos. I'd like to thank Rabbi Sinneman for highlighting this Gemara in his shiur on Yiras Hashem. Okay, so he mentioned it briefly, but you know, afterwards we got intrigued and went into this with the Feder clan. And it was an interesting Gemara. Okay, it's a very interesting Gemara. So the Gemara is, it's really the last line, Laman Aleph, Laman Aleph in Shabbos. And for the first six lines or so, Laman Aleph, Laman Aleph. So the Gemara says like this. Amar Rabba Bar Ravuna, Kol Adam Shiyish Bo Torah, Ve'em Bo Yira Shemayim, Dom El Gizbar Shemasu Lo Maftechos Apnimios, Maftechos Ekitzonos Lo Masu Lo, Bahai Ayil.
We're misled.
You're misled what? You didn't know to start
last. Yira Shemayim is Dome.
Yeah, we just said Yira Shemayim, Dome El Gizbar.
You're joking, right?
No,
we were told the first six lines on off on the base.
Right. But did you go to that? What about the seventh one? The first one, the seventh line? Did you do that one?
We did.
But you did. You knew to go one extra word.
We did.
But you didn't know to go four line words back.
It's a reasonable sentence. We started here. Yiras Shemayim Dome El Gizbar.
Yeah, it's not a reasonable
sentence. You guys are joking. I can't tell if you're joking.
No, man, they're serious. Are there other formulations also?
Isaac had the. Okay, now I thought about telling you to start on the bottom there, but I'm just like. That's a really tricky chazal. Okay, it's hard enough.
A lot of time.
Okay, we'll go with your girsa. Okay. Okay, it's going to be a different idea though.
It's a different idea. We came
up with a few ideas. Okay, yeah. Fine. So that's really fun. Okay, Rabbi Bar Huna. Oh God. Okay, so he says, so a person who has Torah, and he doesn't have Yiras Shamayim, okay, which is key, okay, so what is he like? Okay, so he's similar to, so a Gizbar is a clerk, who they gave him the keys to the inner chamber, but they didn't give him the keys to the outer chamber, to like, let's say the courtyard, okay, so how exactly are you going to get in, right, if you imagine you have a courtyard which is locked, and then you have a palace in the inside, right? So you have the keys to the palace in the inside, but if you can't get through the courtyard, it's not going to help you very much if you have a key to the palace, right? It's the same thing. A person, Rashi, says, Rashi, Yiras Shamayim Doma. Oh, that's weird, Rashi. It leaves out the first part.
Uh-huh.
Lipsachim Chitzonim. So you have a... You have the key to the outer courtyard, right? Shederach lehem nechnasim pnimim. That's the way you get into the inner one. Kachim yaris shemayim. Im nasa charid lishmor velasos. Vim lav einachash l'taraso. So the same thing is if you have a yaris shemayim and you're a charid to be shomer and to do the mitzvos, right? Keep God's commands, then great. But if not, then your Torah, what's your Torah? It's worthless. You can have all you know. Basically, you can know how to learn very nicely, but without Yiras Shamayim, so you can't really, in a sense, access your Torah. That's what the Moshe is telling you. Yiras Shamayim is necessary to access the Torah.
Well, okay. Isn't it necessary to access the door to which Torah is also a key to access the inner door? I mean, Torah is not the room you're getting to. Torah is the keys to the inner room.
Torah is the keys to the inner room. Okay. Fine. So to access the benefits of learning Torah, you need to first have Yiras Shamayim, right? Or else you just simply, right? So it's the Yiras Shamayim is the keys in order to access the benefits of Torah. And Yiras Shamayim, Torah without Yiras Shamayim is essentially worthless, right? Worthless. In a chashal Torah, so it's worthless. Okay. So far, I mean, we'd like to understand that, but so far, so good, right? That's the point of the memra. Machar Zivyan, Isaac Gemara in Yuma also. Is Chava Adales Ledarta Visara Ledarta Ovid. So he says that's a shame, Chaval, on somebody who has a courtyard. But the gate to the courtyard, he doesn't have a courtyard, right? He has no chatzar, but he makes a gate to the courtyard. So he's a big gate, makes a big, beautiful, wonderful gate to a courtyard, but he has no courtyard. So it's just a gate in the middle of nowhere, right? Okay, so you guys saw the Rashi in Yuma, right? Which explains that, right? That was on the sources, right?
No,
I know I'm joking around. I didn't, but I figured you guys would find it from the Mosif Rashi. So Rashi says, "V'sar ledarta avid she'atora ein el shar li kanes ba li yerushimayim." So Torah is just a gate in order to enter into yerushimayim. Lekach tzar she'takdim lo yerushimayim. That's why you have to first have yerushimayim. Before you have the Torah, because what's the point of having a gate without a courtyard? Okay, so it's similar to the prior statement of Rav Bar Huna that you have to have Yiras Shamayim before Torah, but the analogy is quite backwards. Okay, because the second analogy is saying that Torah is the gate to enter into the courtyard, but it's saying what's the point of the gate if you don't have a courtyard? So first, you got to make a courtyard, and then you build the gate.
Why do I need the gate, then?
How are you going to get in? So Torah allows you to get into the courtyard, right? If you make a courtyard with no gate, you can't get in. That's no good. But if you make a gate without a courtyard, that's even more pointless, right? So you have to have... So Torah is the shar to be nichnas into the chatzer of Yiras Shamayim. Okay. So both members are agree. You ultimately have to have Yiras Shamayim first, but the relationship between Torah and Yiras Shamayim is reversed. In the first member of Rabbi Rav Huna of the Gizbar, where they gave him keys to the inner palace, but not to the outer keys. So in that sense, Yiras Shamayim is the method of accessing the Torah. If you can't, right, it's the gates of Yerushalayim are what to the first courtyard, you know, the outer one, is what allows you to access the inner chamber, which is where the keys of the Torah open up to. Right, so Yerushalayim, in a sense, is the first step in order to access the Torah. But in the second memra, it's been reversed. The Torah is the gate yard, is the gate to the courtyard of Yerushalayim. Right, is that clear that the analogies have been reversed? Which one is the gateway to which one?
What does it mean you have something but you can't enter into it?
Imagine you build a beautiful courtyard, but you have...
What does it mean by Yerushalayim, that you have Yerushalayim but you can't enter into it?
What would that even mean?
The Torah is entirely walled up.
No, I understand the mashal. I'm asking the nimshal.
Okay, good. Yeah, what would it mean to have Yerushalayim but you can't really access it?
You don't have it then.
Right. Yeah, right. What would that mean even? Okay, that's a good question. Maybe we'd answer that. Maybe. I mean, that's not quite the point of the mashal. The point of the mashal is more the other way. Is that if you have a gate but no courtyard, that's the point of the, right? That why you're building the point of the mashal is not so much... I mean, it's true, that's definitely an element in the mashal. We won't explain it. But the point of the mashal is more that if you have the gate, meaning Torah, which is a gateway to Yerushalayim, and you don't have the courtyard, you don't have Yerushalayim, what's the point of the gate? That's the essence of the mashal, right? That the Torah is the chaval, and who has a gate, build a gateway, but he has no courtyard for, what's the point of the gate?
So how is Rabbi Yonai answering the question?
What question?
Bahai Ayel,
how you get
the Torah. Okay, that's the rhetorical. That's the end of the first memra. It's a rhetorical question on the first memra. The first one that starts on Lamed Aleph and Aleph in the bottom.
It's saying
Bahai Ayel, Rashi, Ve'ezah Pesach. Right, or exactly. Where, how are you going to enter?
It's a rhetorical question.
Right, it's a rhetorical question.
Meaning, that's
the point.
That's the first mashal. If you don't have the keys to the outer courtyard, how exactly are you going to get in? Well, then I'm honest. I don't have an article here. I mean,
Hubris.
As if they couldn't answer this?
They didn't really look so much.
You read it?
Okay, good. Okay. So, okay, good, but it's clear now. It's not so complicated.
Is it recording?
What? Is it recording?
I don't know.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Okay. So the first mashal is saying... We'll just do this one more time. First mashal is you have Torah, you're a clerk, okay, and you're given the keys to the inner sanctuary, right, which is to the Torah, which Torah gives, that's the key that's Torah, gets you into there. But you can't access that because you can't get to the door of that sanctuary to open up the door because you don't have the keys to the outer gates, which is Yerushalayim. So if you can't have Yerushalayim, you can't even get to use the Torah, which is for the inner, which is in a sense, the Torah seems to be a greater thing here, but you can't get to it, doesn't help you, right? It's worthless. The second mashal of Rav Yonai is almost reversing the whole concept. It's saying a chaval for somebody who builds a courtyard, but he has no gate in order to get into the courtyard. So what's the point of the gateway? And here, the Torah is the gateway to Yerushalayim. And since Yerushalayim seems to be the main thing, right, it's kind of been reversed a little bit. And Yerushalayim has been the main thing, and Torah is just a gate toward entering into Yerushalayim.
Yeah, we're still saying procedural. You still need to proceed toward Yerushalayim.
Yes, Chazal or Pecha, they always hold Yerushalayim has to be coding to your Bachma, for sure. Definitely. But the whole mashal, the concepts of the mashal are, right?
The Rambam and the Mishnah Torah doesn't have it in this order.
He doesn't have...
Well, it seems that first you're spawning on certain facts about God, maybe including Torah. Then you come to Ava, and then from Ava comes Yira. Meaning, because then Kishimachashi Valdvar Moilu.
That's a grashi. Shatar in El Shar Likanes Bali Yoshimaim.
Yeah, so then what do you mean to say?
Yeah, right. Rambam's is the Mishnah Torah is much more similar to the Rav Yonai statement. Not like the first statement.
So are you answering that they're both? Are you saying that they're both the same?
No, I'm saying they're both agreeing that ultimately your Yerushalayim should precede. I mean, the way Rashi is explained in Yuma, that your Yerushalayim has to precede your Chachma, because what's the point of building a Shar? You don't build a gate before you build the courtyard. First you build the courtyard, then you build the gate to the courtyard.
Maybe then you have the question, how can you have the courtyard if the whole point of the gate is the only means by which you can get to the courtyard?
What do you mean?
How can you have, like my question before, how could you have the Yerushalayim before Rashi and Yuma, before Torah, if Torah is the means by which you get to Yerushalayim? You know, like the circular problem.
Unless you say it's not.
With the two members together. I mean, if you need Yerushalayim to get Torah, so
no, just the Rashi.
How do you have Torah to get the Yerushalayim?
Just Rashi and Yuma. Shatorah and Al-Sharim.
It's the same question.
Yeah.
Of both members being like Sosra Dadi. If you tell me that I need Torah to get to Yerushalayim, well then how do I proceed Torah with Yerushalayim? I can only get it if I engage in Torah.
It's a circular. But your thing is it's just saying is what's the point of building a shahr? The shahr is to get into somewhere. If you don't have somewhere to go into, you don't need a gate into it. Right? And if you have, it's like saying, if you have Torah, but you have Yerushalayim, what's the point? The whole Torah is to get into Yerushalayim. If you're in Yerushalayim, the Torah is worthless. It's not necessary. It's a gate to Noah. Okay, there's different ways
to say it. But I would say you have to talk to them actually procedurally. I would say that if
you're talking
if the shard didn't
purely,
lead to this.
Really, based on the mashal, in theory, you could build a gate and then build a chatzar around it.
I mean, it shouldn't be the building.
It's really not the way you would do it in construction, but I guess in theory that would work out.
No, but Rashi actually learned on the Maisa, you have to talk to your Torah with your Shemayim.
Right, or else what's the point of it?
But how'd you get the Yerushalayim?
Yeah, okay. Right, that's a circularity. That. Okay, good. We're moving good. Okay. Now we have the last source. Okay. Is Mishle. Okay, so these psukim we're doing with Rabbi Yaakov Trachman. We're doing that for a while.
You got jury duty.
Yeah, jury duty.
And is that like a famous event?
No, it's in the front.
Okay, fun. Oh, yeah. Good luck on that one. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So Perek Aleph. Okay, Perek Aleph Pasuk Zayin. So the first six psukim in Mishle are Mishle's like introduction, his Hekdama, to the Sefer Mishle, the first six psukim. And Pasuk Zion is really the beginning of Mishle after the Shlomo Melech's Hakdama. Okay, in a sense, it's the thesis statement of Mishle. Okay, so it goes like this: Yiras Hashem Mereshis Das. So the fear of Hashem is the beginning of knowledge. Chachma Umusar Avilim Bazu. So wisdom and Musar. How you translate that is being criticism. Right, fools are they despise, they degrade it. Okay, right in the first half and the second half of the pasuk, a little bit funny what they how they go together. So Rashi's like this: Yiras Hashem Reishis Das. He says Ad Kan Perish Letzorach Masa Shlomo Sefer Zeh. So until this point, the first six psukim, it was just explaining why did Shlomo write this book. The Ata Masla Sefer, and now it's beginning the book. This is really the first, right? The first chapter one, Pasuk Aleph. This is how he starts off his book. Yiras Hashem Reishis Das. Okay, he Terumas Iker Hadas. Very hard Rashi. So it is. You guys like the Rashi, right?
No.
Okay, good. So it is. It's a very hard Rashi. What? Whenever I say look at a pasuk, I look at Rashi. Okay, always.
In the Tirgum.
Yeah. I'm really learning Rashi. The pasuk is just what's Rashi talking about.
Say, okay? How you doing?
I'm just trying to learn Rashi. Okay, he trumas ikra das. This is a very hard Rashi. Okay, I don't know if we're going to explain it. So it's not even clear how to translate it. Trumas ikra das. So I'm not even sure if Rashi. So trumas, I guess, literally means like a raising, a taking off. Okay, but I think it's a Rashi is referencing that reishis das. Like trumas called reishis, right? Reishis tibuascha. So I think Rashi is being dorish that. That's. It's Reishis Das, like the choice part, like Rosh. The choice part of knowledge is Yiras Hashem. I think he's learning, that's one way to learn. Okay, so it's the Truma and the Iker Hadas, the essence of Das, the Truma, the greatest part, the beginning, the something, the choice, I don't know. V'hi Tielecha Harishon L'Das. And it should also be Reishis in the sense of first. Okay, it should be the first thing of knowledge, or, right, the first thing of knowledge. Lefnei chachmascha, before your chachm, before all your wisdom, you should have Yiras Hashem. Hakdim liyiras yotzrecha, you should first make sure it's preceded by your fear of your Creator. V'hi titein belivcha lasos bechachma ubedas, and the Yiras Hashem is going to place in your mind to act with chachma, with wisdom and knowledge. So the fools who don't fear God, so they degrade it. They degrade wisdom and musr, criticism, chastisement. Okay. So that's the first pasuk. Okay. Yiras Hashem Reishis Das. Is that before your right lifnei chachmascha hakdin liyiras yotzrecha, is before it's rishon ladas that yiras Hashem precedes knowledge, and that's the statement of Mishlei. Mishlei is sefer of chachma, and it's the first statement of Mishlei is that beginning of knowledge is yiras Hashem. Okay, and Rashi has this cryptic phrase of he trumas ikir hadas. Right, it's hard to even translate. It's a trumas ikra hadas, and that's got to precede your chachma. Okay, good. Then Mishlei proceeds to with the first mashal of Mishlei. Right, is the base of the first parak about if you know thugs and gang members come to you and they try to get you to join their gang, don't do it. It's not going to be good for you. They're out for themselves. They're going to turn on you. Right, and the whole mashal, very nice mashal, but not for us now. And then parak beis. He comes back to, really I'm most interested in Pasuk Hey, but I'm just going to give you the introduction to it, right, the first five Pasukim. Okay, it says like this, B'ni, is Berak Beis Pasuk Aleph, B'ni im tikech amarai, u'mitzvosai titzponitach. So he says, my son, right, so Shlomo is talking to, right, his son. That's the, right, how the book is couched.
Rechavam?
Yeah, Rechavam. All right, or you? It's you. You're a son too. If you take his words and you listen to his what he's telling you to do, and you guard it inside, you know, guard it inside you. You internalize it. Which is what? What is Shlomo trying to teach you? L'hakshiv l'chachmas necha. So to give ear to wisdom. Listen to wisdom. Tatalib chalisfuna. So tilt your ear, bend your ear to understanding. Ki'im labina tikra, if you call out to understanding, letzvuna titen kolecha, and you raise your voice to it, in tevakshenek hakesef, you seek after it like you look at it, like you pursue money, v'chamat monim tach besen, and you after you search after it like you do a treasure, right? It's not just right. The pursuit of chachmas has to involve all your energy. It's something like people pursue money. Right, they devote their life to money and put their energy into it, and they seek after it and treasures, and they hide it's hidden, and they have to uncover it. Right, to not just a superficial glancing over chachma, but really devoting your life to pursuing wisdom. Oz tov in yiras Hashem, then you will understand yiras Hashem, v'das elokim timtza, and the knowledge of God you will find. Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. So the question is, what just happened here? Is in the first pasuk or paragraph pasuk Zion, it's that Yiras Hashem Reishis Das, the Yiras Hashem is to precede knowledge, but all of a sudden he's saying, now listen to what I'm telling you. He said you have to seek Chachman, you have to pursue it, and then you have to uncover it and call out to it, and then after you do all this, then you'll be able to understand Yiras Hashem. What do you mean? I thought Yiras Hashem has to precede the Chachma. It's not that. After I have Yiras Hashem, after I have Chachma, and I pursue it, and I seek after it, and all the energies, and then I'm going to have Yiras Hashem, and Das Elokim Timtza. How's that? What's that? It's backwards. The whole thing is it's a stira, between two psukim. Right? What's going on? What's the order here? Right? Okay. So that is the sources. Okay, most of them you saw were on the list. No secret sources here. There's a few more secret sources, but we'll get into that in the answer. Okay, I don't want to give anything away now. Okay, so now, so you guys prepared for this? Okay, so I'm sure everybody's got their own answers. Okay, go ahead. Okay, go ahead.
So, Rashi, because we're learning.
Okay, fine. So Ezra's saying good, okay, is that putting together the Rambam and the Pesukim of Mishlei, right, is that basically there's three steps here, right? So the first step is the Yiras Hashem of the Sefer Mitzvos, right? Of Year of Onish or something like that. And then you can, from that, you can get Torah. And then after that, you have the Yiras Hashem of the Mishneh Torah, of the Roma Sakel. What would we say? It's an existential Yira. I like that, very nice. Okay. And right, and then through the Chachma, you can get, right after the Chachma, you can get the Yiras Hashem of the higher level, right? And that's the Pesukim in Mishlei, right? The first pasuk is you have to begin with Yiras Hashem, but then the Perek Beis, the Rambam is saying is that if you want this higher level of Yiras Hashem, then you have to first have Chachma, right? Anything else? Did I leave anything else out? Is it good? Okay, good. Yeah, go ahead.
Just saying that both, if you hold that the Rambam and the Sefer Mitzvot and the Rambam Mishnah Torah are not contradicting each other, then both of them are Kiyum and Yiras Hashem. You'd say that the Mitzvot just have, in a general sense, to have knowledge of God produce in you a fear of God. Now, it could be either coming from the existential area or the punishment, but they're both, they have a common phenomenon to them. So you can say they're both Kiyum and the Mitzvot.
You're saying they're both a Kiyum and Mitzvot? You're trying to unify the two?
I'm saying if you want to, you can just say that he changed his mind. I'm saying that also.
Changed his mind? Let's say he didn't change his mind.
He didn't change
his mind. That's like the Kofer Moach Hashlir Slibam, right?
Yeah.
No.
I'm just saying. If
you don't want to say that. You don't have to say it. Not.
If you want to say that he would hold Mishtari and Makai in the Mitzvah also just by being having fear of owners, then yeah, in both of them you are afraid of God. You're afraid of your relationship to God. In one case, it's in a more physical sense, let's call it. In the other case, like Professor said, it's in an existential sense.
Right. Okay, good.
But they both are that God is producing fear in you. Like, it's not...
Oh, you're saying... So you're saying what unifies them is the sense of fear from God.
Yeah.
Right, but it's in two different senses. Okay, that's true.
Obviously, the mitzvah minimum of God is like the existential one. That's why you brought that
down. The higher level.
Right, you can just say you brought it down in the... Derech of the highest level.
Right. Right. Now, why in the Mishnah Torah does one thing say from Mitzvah, does another thing, you'll never find an answer to that question. It doesn't have an answer. And don't try. Okay. Okay, good. Anybody else have any thoughts on the... Please. Ezra, you look at me, you got something you want to say?
My chavrusa.
Oh, your chavrusa. Okay, good.
We were only focusing on the Mishlei system at the time, though.
Okay. That's fine. What's up, Mishlei? Okay, so Isaac and this is in conjunction with Ezra, right? Chavrusa. Yes. Okay, fine. So they want to say, just to resolve the steer and Mishlei, is that really in... What they're changing is they're changing the premise that Perek Beis, when it says like you have to pursue Chachma like money and call out to understanding and tilt your ear to it, it's more talking about an attitude towards Chachma or the pursuit of truth. It's not talking about actually acquiring it, but you have to have a certain orientation of your soul towards wisdom and knowledge. And if you have that, then you can have Yiras Hashem. So in a sense, the attitude towards Chachma is what's necessary as for acquiring Yiras Hashem, but the actual Yiras Hashem is necessary in order to acquire Chachma, and that's the Perek Aleph. So Yiras Hashem has to precede the acquisition of Chachma, but the way you get Yiras Hashem is through a certain attitude and orientation towards Chachma. And that's a good way of resolving the Stira and Mishlei. Okay, good. Go ahead, Mati. Okay, so now Mati is saying is that now this approach of Ezra and Ariel, right, to answer the Pesukim of Mishlei and the Rambam and the Sefer Mitzvos. So it's good, explains the Gemara, right, explains the... Because the first mashal is telling us that you have to go through the outer courtyard or whatever in order to get into the inner ones. The key to the outer one is Yiras Hashem. So that's referring to the basic level of Yiras Hashem. Let's say Yiras Onesh, Raman Sefer Mitzvos. And without that, and that's the first parak of Mishlei, that's Reishis Yiras Hashem, Reishis Das. That's the prerequisite in order to get into or to access the value of Torah. But the second member of Rav Yanai is saying that that Chachma is the gateway towards the Yiras Hashem, right? He's saying it's based on like the second parak of Mishlei, that Oz Tov and Yiras Hashem, only after you have Chachma can you really have Yiras Hashem. And that's the Ram of the Mishnah Torah, this higher level of Yiras Hashem, a deeper appreciation of God's greatness and his grandeur. That's the Rav Yanai's second mashal. Right, so everything is boom, boom, boom. Everything's falling into place. The Rambams, the Mishlei. It's beautiful. It's perfect, right? Everything's good. Okay, good. Yeah, go ahead, man. Okay, good. So Mati's even going further, is that the first Mashal is saying that is that without Yiras Hashem, it's impossible to access the keys of Torah or to use them. And it's worthless. That's why it's like a prerequisite. Right? Yiras Hashem, in that sense, is a complete prerequisite. There's no, it's completely, Torah is completely worthless. Because you can't access the Torah at all without the Yiras Hashem. You can't even get there in that mashal, right? The outer courtyard, if you can't get in there, it's like there is no inner courtyard. You can't get there. But the second one, if you have Torah, but you have no Yiras Hashem, you have a gateway, but to nowhere. So it's not that you don't have a gate. You can go through the gate. It's just it's purposeless. There's no point. Right? It's like having Torah. The whole point of Torah is to get Yiras Hashem. So if you don't have the courtyard Yiras Hashem, it's say pointless. So it's like two different mashals, and it fits in beautifully here. Without the first point is saying Yiras Hashem is a prerequisite. It makes it impossible to have Torah without Yiras Hashem. The second one is saying is Torah, if you have Torah but no Yiras Hashem, so there's no point. It's pointless to have Torah without Yiras Hashem because you're not going anywhere. Very good. Okay, yeah, further? Okay, good.
Yeah. And also it ties in with Mitesh Shalalishma Balashma, because you could technically get a chatzer later. Like, offense isn't only worthless because you don't have a chatzer right now, but you could technically.
You can Lolishma Balashma. I mean, even you're just saying, even if you only have the gateway, but you don't have the Yiras Hashem, Lolishma Balashma, at least you have the gateway. And then afterwards,
the chatzer could come later.
You can build a chatzer afterwards. You're still better off than a guy who doesn't have the shahr. Yeah, okay, good.
You're locked
good.
Out.
Not clear exactly how the shahr is going to lead to the gateway, but the courtyard, but whatever. Yeah, it's still you're still better off than nothing. Okay, fine, for sure. Okay, good. Josh, you had
to... I just wanted to... So the first statement of the Gemara, which is Adam Sheish Bo Torah Vein Bo Yiras Shemayim, is Rav Dafka. Like, it's Torah doesn't actually mean Torah. Because there's no case in our sandwich that there's Torah without some type of Yiras Shemayim.
Oh, I mean, you could have a guy who learns Torah but doesn't have Yiras Shemayim.
Basic Yiras Shemayim.
So we're saying Torah is like facts. Type 2 Yiras Shemayim. Like, Psukim.
Oh, no, I mean, you can all learn. You could have, I don't think it's a prerequisite to the Brisker Darach that you have to have Yiras Shemayim. I mean, it's just that it means, the guy can learn. He can be holding in a Shas and Poskim and knows how to learn, but it just has no value to him, right? It just has no value. Acher is a great example. Very good.
You're saying factually you won't learn unless you have Yiras Shemayim? Meaning Yiras Shemayim is the motivator to get a person to learn? Is that what you're saying? Like Rashi says on the first Rashi of the page.
The motivator?
Yeah, meaning it's not that actually impossible to learn.
Right. Exactly. Impossible. That's the point. Okay, good. So, right, we have to understand this. Okay, you guys did great. Okay, great. That's basically the whole thing. We just have to now try to just take everything you guys said and just go a little bit deeper and understand these concepts. Right, we could say Yiras Hashem is a prerequisite. Without that, Torah is worthless. But I mean, you have to think about that for a second. There is such a thing as Acher, guy has a Yiras Hashem. But he knows how to learn Torah. He can learn a Blatt of Gemara. It's not impossible for a person to be able to learn Torah and to know Torah. And so what exactly does that mean, that you need Yiras Hashem? And the other way is what does it mean that Chachma is a gate to Yiras Hashem? It's a little bit more intuitive, a little bit easier to understand. And you know, I just like to understand a little bit on a deeper level why are we calling everything Yiras Hashem? Yiras Hashem, it seems like a very vague term. Why are these two things called Yiras Hashem? And maybe I'll bring in a secret source or two. Okay? But I mean, otherwise, there's basically, that's right. There's you see from, and this is not the only places, but you see from Chazal, from the Rishonim, from Tanakh, right? You see that Yiras Hashem, it's used, in a sense, equivocally. It's used in different ways. And it's a broad term and encompasses a lot of different things. Right, and one of my main goals of this year is to show you that to don't try to, when you see Yiras Hashem, you can't try, don't think there's a definition for Yiras Hashem. There's one definition for Yiras Hashem. Yiras Hashem, it's like a whole parsha. I was talking to Yaakov when I was doing this, preparing with him yesterday. He's saying it's like when you go into Yiras Hashem, and like the Rambam, right, there's other sources in the Rambam, is that Yiras Hashem, it's a sugya. It's a whole sugya of Yiras Hashem. Okay, so it's you're not trying to come to one definition. You have to realize that Yiras Hashem is a broad area, with many interconnected concepts, and it's more to show you that if you try to always use the same definition for Yiras Hashem, you're going to run into these contradictions, right? Problems and contradictions, you're not going to be able to work it out, and you have to realize Yiras Hashem means different things in different contexts. Okay. You have a question now.
We said that there's more than these two definitions we've sort of ironed out. Like,
okay, yeah. So let me just before. Okay, so hopefully it comes up while I'm saying. Okay. Okay. The other thing is we didn't mention earlier is the Gemara in Shabbos Laman Alpha Beis, the sixth line, right? Was it was Rabbi Yehuda? It says Lo Bar Kash Baruch Hashem Lama El Kadesh Yir Mufanov Shem Rav Elikim Asas Yir Mufanov. Right, so that Kadosh Baruch Hu created the whole world. It's not part of the contradiction, but we'd like to understand that memra. Is what does it mean that Kadosh Baruch Hu created the whole world for Yiras Shemayim? Okay, so let's put that together here.
And that's, Mistama, not like the motivating type Yiras Shemayim. That's like the more...
Right, I would think that's the final, correct. I want to say something a little different than that even, but yeah, yes, definitely not. I wouldn't think it's the prerequisite Yiras Shemayim. Okay, so I'm just going to try to talk out the basic ideas. And then it's basically everything you guys are saying. Just trying to put a little bit describe it a little bit, and talk around it. It's not easy, again, it's not easy to find this thing. But basically, okay, we'll begin with this point we've been talking about, is that Yerushalayim is not a singular thing. Okay. And Yerushalayim let's say the concept basically is that there's different types of Yerushalayim, and your Yerushalayim, it progresses over the course of your life, and it goes through different stages. Okay, it goes through different stages. Okay, and one on the most basic level of Yerushalayim, and I think that's the Pasuk in Mishlei, is it's this idea of consequences. It's this idea that if you don't listen to Hashem, bad things are going to happen to you. Okay, and I think it would also include that schar, that if you do listen to Hashem, He'll reward you. Rashi doesn't focus on that, so maybe we won't. But in Ramni, there's Yiras Onesh. I guess that's why it's Yira. But is this idea that, you know, as a kid has to realize that because you want something to be some way, it doesn't mean it's going to be that way. And just because you wish it, you wish that you could do whatever you want, you could eat whatever you want, you could say whatever you want to say, treat people however you want to, and you want things to happen, and you want good things to happen to you, and you want to avoid bad things, and like your wishes and your desires don't make reality, that there is something outside of you, greater than you. There is a reality greater than you that imposes consequences on you against your will, whether you like it or not. And that your job as an adult is to grow up, is to grow up under in a reality that's greater than you, with a higher power that has the ability to make bad things happen to you if you don't live in line with that, and you don't recognize the consequences that occur from your actions. In the most basic way, you tell a kid that is Hashem said no, it's bad, and if you don't say Hashem, something bad will happen. Okay, and it's true. Okay, and it's a true point. It's just it's not quite the way the kid understands it. Okay, it's not on the way the kid understands that in the most basic level. It's not so simple. Okay, because the kid doesn't have chachma, he doesn't have das, he doesn't understand that. Let's say when you speak lashon hara, something bad will happen. Hashem's going to punish you. Okay, so look, I mean, there's different levels on which that onus occurs. But say for Mishlei, is going to show you how when you speak lashon hara about people, then you're going to create enemies for yourself. And when you're not looking, those enemies are going to try to take you out. And really bad things are going to happen to you almost as a natural consequence of speaking lashon hara. Now Hashem said, don't do these averos and do these mitzvos. And the reason He said to keep the Torah is because l'tov lach, these mitzvos really are naturally good for you. It's not just, it's not good because God said it's good, and it's not bad because God said it's bad. The reason God said don't do it is because it really is bad for you. No, it's bad because God made the world with natural laws and He made consequences. And on a very basic level, the kid has to understand there's natural consequences because God made the world where there's a reality and there's laws and there's other people. And those things are more important than my desires. And my desires don't determine the reality. And the Sefer Mishlei is really going to show you the whole framework of Chachma that you have to lead your life by, right? This is the idea of this, the essence of Mishlei, got from the Mishlei master, Rabbi Moskowitz, okay? And another Mishlei master is Mashni Weiss, okay? And it's a basic idea of Mishlei, trying to teach you consequences. And a person, and the Chachmo Musar of Olam Avilim Bazu, is that a fool doesn't want to hear, that his desires and his wishes can be frustrated by reality. So when you criticize him or you tell him this is the consequences of what's going to happen, he ignores you. He doesn't want to hear that. He wants the world to conform to his desires as opposed to changing himself because of reality. Okay, so that first most basic outlook before you can really even learn Mishlei is you have to at least be on the basic level of Yiras Hashem, of Yiras Onesh, realizing that reality is greater than you are and it's your job to conform to it and to live in line with it, and then your mind is open to Chachma and Musar. But if you don't have that basic level of Yiras Onesh, you set yourself up as a center of reality, and you expect reality to conform to your desires, then there's no, you can't talk to that type of person. What are you going to tell him? If you do this, bad thing's going to happen? No, he doesn't think so. He doesn't want that to happen. If he doesn't want to happen, he's the greatest, nothing's going to happen. Okay, so that's the fool basically can't even begin to learn Mishlei because he doesn't have the basic Yiras Shamayim. But once you have that basic Yiras Shamayim, and that Yir Shamayim, where does it come from? Because if you need Yir Shamayim to get Chachma and Das and Tuna, so where do you get that Yir Shamayim from?
Presumably you're a kid, you rely on authorities.
No? Yeah, that's what I think the simplest answer is that, right, is that you get it from your parents, and you get it from your Rebbeim, and you get it from your society, and you get it from the Torah, it's from authority, because the Yir Shamayim on the most basic level comes from your education, and that's where it starts from. And if you don't have the proper education of Yir Shamayim, then it's not gonna, you know, you could screw up a kid. If you educate, kids got bad parents and bad educators and a bad life, and then to begin with, so they're never gonna be able to learn Chachma, and they're never gonna be able to learn Musar, and it's not gonna help them. They need that basic Yir Shamayim, and that's your job as a parent, is to teach your kids this basic framework of Yir Shamayim, of how they relate to the world, and it's a growing process. It's not easy for a kid. A kid doesn't start out that way. And the basic idea of that, you know, that reality, there's a reality principle out there. And we call it Yir Shamayim, because that's we hold by God, but it's just a more fundamental idea of consequences, and recognizing that your initial thoughts about your own grandeur and your own omnipotence is not real, it's not true. And you have to show the kid that, and it's you would think it's an obvious point, but there are adults who don't have that point. They intellectually on a superficial level will parrot it back to you. But it's not on an emotional level, it's not real to them. Okay, and the Yiras Hashem of Yiras Onesh, it's all these things, it's the point of Yiras Hashem is it's intellectual in a certain sense. And even this, the knowledge from authority is intellectual. You're being conveyed ideas about reality from your parents or authorities, but ultimately it's really forming a certain emotional orientation to the world. And that is it. The adult has the intellectual concept, but because he wasn't raised by that idea, he doesn't have that emotional attitude, and it's not real to his worldview. Okay, so that's the basic level of Yiras Hashem, of Yiras Onesh. You have to have that reality that there's consequences if I don't listen to Hashem and listen to Torah, and it's not just the Torah and mitzvos, but it's the mitzvos of Mishlei. It's just living a life intelligently, that there's consequences to not living a life intelligently. Okay, and then it matters. It matters if you're in line with that.
What does it mean to say that person has it intellectually but not emotionally?
I mean, how does that work? I mean,
yeah,
he says he, but then
yeah, I mean, right. I think
time, it doesn't do it.
I think most
so
adults.
Have it, at all.
It doesn't has no practical bearing on how he leads his life.
Oh, so he doesn't have it.
Yeah,
he say doesn't empty have words.
No, because he really does believe. If you ask him, is this true? He'd say yes.
Right, he'll tell you.
Or Ryan, not if he doesn't live that way.
Right, correct.
Or right, yes, because he says it.
There's a split in his personality. What? A person can be is dichotomous. He can have intellectual awareness, but it doesn't ultimately reach into his soul, and it doesn't change the way he behaves, because it doesn't become, it's not truly how he views the world on a, I don't say unconscious level, but it's just not, you know, it's, a person is capable of being dichotomous. You know, it's a different, you know, it's, that's a whole separate problem. Of, you know, how do you overcome that problem, that gap between your knowledge and your view of reality? But there is a, you know, a cognitive dissonance. There is this idea that you can know something, but it doesn't really affect how you act and behave and feel about the world. You know, the knowledge has to become real to you. Okay, and I think if you're not raised with Yiras Hashem, it's not very easy to really, it's, you know, it's a very much more difficult process.
It's probably much harder in Western society to be scared of onus from God than it was.
Yeah, oh yeah, for
I
sure.
I mean, the Rav says that, no?
Yeah, it's definitely true, for sure. And the reality of God's onus is not nearly the same reality we get from American Western society than they did in Europe, for
is
sure.
Just post-enlightenment?
yeah.
Think that there's
no, because the Rav said when he was growing up in the shtetl, sure, people were like freaking out on Yom Kippur,
sure,
crying.
Right,
because no one has that passion on nowadays. When you go to school, no one's actually scared.
Right, correct. Yeah, right. That and that's educated. A basic level of Yiras Hashamayim that comes from your society, comes from your parents, and it's very hard to. No, you can't really recreate that. You can't really recreate that in the same way.
It doesn't mean it's fake if you tried.
It's what?
It's fake. Person tried to recreate that nowadays.
Oh, it's terrible.
Yeah.
No, I don't think it's impossible. I mean, you could do it. I mean, there's such a thing as tshuva.
No, a person could do it. I'm saying it on a societal level, it's hard to. Pretend as if you have that emotional status if you actually don't.
Help your right back.
Yeah, something. I mean, pretending is not going to do the trick.
Yeah. Right?
That's not going to do the trick, correct. Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay, fine. But, okay. But that is a very basic level of Yiras Hashem. Okay? And that's not, That's not the goal of a human being. Okay, so the in order what you do what chachma does. Okay, and this is what you spend your life learning chachma and learning Torah, and what chachma and Torah does is it takes that Yiras Hashem that you start off with, this attitude towards this reality that you are vaguely aware of as a child, and what chachma does is it develops the Yiras Hashem, and it causes it to go through different stages. Okay. So I'm not going to go through the different stages of Yiras Hashem. One of them, a higher level we saw, was the Rambam and the Mishneh Torah. There's one, I'll just reference it, the Rambam and the Moreh Nevuchim, in Chelek Yemol, Perek Nunbeis, okay, towards the very end of the Moreh Nevuchim. And that's a different Yiras Hashem, it seems to me, than either Sefer Mitzvos or the Mishneh Torah. That's much more of a... It's certainly a higher level than Yiras Onesh, but it's also different than just when you contemplate God's creations. It's a constant awareness the Ram talks about of Hashem, and it's a pachad and a busha, and it's more of like a philosophical fear. Again, then you can look in that parak. It's not that long, but it's a very abstract. Not abstract. It's a challenging parak, but an important parak to do. But my point is. Not to get into the different types of Yiras Hashem. My point is that Chachma is the gateway into Yiras Hashem. Rav Yana's Mashal is because that's what Chachma does. Chachma takes the Yiras Hashem that you start off with and it develops it through different stages. Okay, and the different stages of Yiras Hashem are very different from each other. They look very different. Like the Rambam and the Mishneh Torah look very different than the Yiras Hashem. That's very different than the Rambam and the Sefer Mitzvos. They don't seem like the same thing. But there is a continuity in terms of the development of the individual. How it starts with the basic level of Yiras Hashem, and through Chachma and Das, you understand the world more. You understand yourself more. You're able to develop your sense of reality and your sense of yourself and your place in existence and what reality as a whole really is. And that's through Chachma and Das and Tuna. And that's ultimately what, you know, what you're learning Torah is and your Chachman and Mishle and you know, that's what the whole pursuit of life is, and the pursuit of being Kovei yourself for a Torah and Chachma is to take this Yiras Hashem and develop your sense of reality and your place within it through Chachma. And as you go through life, your Yiras Hashem develops and it changes. Okay, until it's being brought to higher and higher levels. And that's what Chachma is, this gateway. This is the method. The method for developing Yiras Hashem is really Chachma and Torah. And really, I mean, also, if you look at the Rambam and the Sefer Mitzvos, and then the Moreh Nevuchim, Rambam's very big on Mitzvos also. Mitzvos also play a tremendously important role there. In fact, there he only really focuses on the Mitzvos. Right? There's other contradictions that we're not going to get into. Okay, but it's the one we're going to focus on here is Torah and Chachma, but I just don't want to leave out Mitzvos because that's a very important part in a person's education, really developing his Yiras Hashem, his Mitzvos Ases and Los Ases. Okay. Well, one thing that bothered me with the whole sugya was, why do you call all these things Yiras Hashem? When you look in the, we're going to go through the different Rambams, they just seem very different from each other. Why are they all called Yiras Hashem? And there is a sense that, yes, like Arya was saying, that it all comes from your idea of God, and they instill a certain fear and an awe, and like, you know, to some degree the word Yir is equivocal, but yeah, you have a...
I just want to give a proposed answer.
Okay, go ahead.
Regards to what you just said.
Yeah.
Meaning you were saying before that, you know, you want to see Yiras Hashem is awareness of the fact that God can cause consequences to your life, and also just the general notion it goes against what you want to believe, which is that you're in control of the events around you, let's say.
Right.
And that's, I guess, what produces the Yir. Meaning it's when an awareness of God sort of leads to a recognition that reality is not as you want it.
Right.
So I'm saying the low-level Yir, so that only applies to the external world. You know, you're... become aware that God is in control of all the events around you. But it seems like the high-level year is just when you take that and you reflect on it and it becomes internal. Now you realize that even your own, I guess, model of your own existence that you had, given your knowledge of God, is not true either.
Okay. I mean, when you internalize it, it changes how you feel about yourself as opposed to just how you look at reality in the first thing. That's very good. Okay, good. So again, that's it's right. The point of this year really is not to go through what Yiras Hashem really is and how it develops and how it grows. I say it's a much bigger sugya than a 1 hour shiur, right? And I think what you're saying is very good. The analogy I was thinking is like if you had a seed, right, and it grew into like a sapling and then a tree. Okay, so they look very different at different stages, but there is a continuity there and there's a development. You know, now the seed needs the right environment, needs the soil, it needs the water, it needs the sunlight. But provided the right, which is the light is like chachma, you know, or and it allows it to grow and develop. Okay, but there is a continuity in the sense of if you don't start off with the seed, if you water the ground and have a lot of sunlight, you're not going to get a tree. Right, you need the seed to begin with. But the seed and the tree and the sapling, they're very different stages and they look very different. One has fruits and one's just a little seed and one is right for just branching. They're very different. And when you analyze each one, you have to really analyze each one in its own framework and understand it. But one really develops from the other. And part of the sugya of Yiras Hashem is seeing the different stages of Yiras Hashem, the different ones, trying to identify. And now, it's not, there's one thing, it's not so simple. As you go through life, you're not going to be in the stage one, then you're going to be in stage two, stage three. These stages overlap. So, you know, the stage of Yiras Onesh never really goes away. It becomes a little bit more on the edge of it, you know, maybe not as a, the edges may be taken off because maybe when you relate to it a little bit in a certain way, it can be overwhelming, you know, but these different stages, they overlap each other. You know what I mean? And it's not necessarily a linear progression from 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You know, I mean, it can be 1, 2, then 5, then 3. You know, these things don't, it's not, it's a much more complicated development of the human being. But the point is, it is they do develop one stage from the other. Given the Torah and mitzvos, if you do them properly, then your sense of Yiras Hashem will develop and will grow. But these stages are a little bit more complicated in how they overlap. And it's worth reflecting on yourself of where are you at? How do you view, where are you at in terms of Yiras Hashem? What's your perspective and your framework? And seeing what are the different other possible levels that are available that maybe you're not, it's not emotionally real to you, but the Psukim and Chazal and the Rishonim talk about that maybe you could get to through studying and proper Chachma and Torah and the proper mitzvos. Okay, so just pointing out an area to investigate. The last thing is just that statement of Rav Yehuda, right, in the last Gemara on Shabbos, is that Kadosh Baruch Hu only created the world for Yiras Hashem, Because ultimately that is your life. That is what you know. Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world for the people to serve Him. But ultimately, it's to serve Him is to develop your soul, develop your existence. And Yiras Hashem is what you begin with, and it's what you end with, and it's everything in the middle. And the Torah and the Mitzvot is taking Yiras Hashem and developing it, and your perspective on God and your relationship to Him. That is Yiras Hashem, so that's what Rav Yehuda means. The Halakim Asa Shir Mefanav is Yiras Hashem, in a sense, is this broad term, right? It's used for the different stages, but Yiras Hashem, that's why I said Nechazal. I don't think that member of Rav Yehuda is saying Yiras Hashem, like the purpose of the whole creation is for the Yiras Hashem, is referring to the Yiras Hashem, the Rambam, in either the Mor Nevuchim or the Mishnah Torah, whatever it is. I think he means Yiras Hashem is like this whole development of the soul of Yiras Hashem from the first stage to the last. Is that exact? That is the purpose of your existence, and in the framework of Torah, Yiras Hashem is the foundation of it all. It's where you begin. It's where you end, and that's what it means. Is this your life, and this is what Torah and mitzvot are designed to do. Is take this idea of Yiras Hashem in its most basic form and allow it to flourish and to grow and for you to develop. And that's the whole purpose. Ki zeh kol adam, right? Sofa davar kol nishma, so kim yarei v'etz mitzvot shemor ki zeh kol adam. Good. Okay.